This is the, I'm back again, and I like to add that when I had the gas station, and we were doing very well, and my parents had moved from Wainwright Street to Elizabeth, and they were living in Elizabeth, and my father retired, and they had friends that were in Florida in Century Village, and they used to go down to Century Village, and they liked it very much. And my mother said to me she would like to buy a place down in Century Village, but they couldn't afford to buy one. I said, Mom, pick out a place in Century Village, and I'll buy it for you with Richie. And we were at Route 27 of Parsons Road in business, and we were doing fairly well. And it was okay with Bonnie that we did this. And my mother bought a place in Century Village, 68 C Sussex, Century Village, West Palm Beach. My father wasn't that keen on moving to Florida, but he went to Florida, and my mother and my father, they had a great time living there. They enjoyed themselves, and Rich and I got a mortgage on the property, and we paid it off, and we paid it off in full. And my father, one New Year's Eve, went to a New Year's party, and he said to my mother that he would like to have a drink. And my father hadn't had a drink in years. And my mother said to his friend, give him a drink. And he had a drink, and he said, let's have a dance. And he went out on the dance floor with my mother, and he passed away right on the dance floor. And that was New Year's Eve. And I was at a party at Eleanor and Artie Cole's house when I got the phone call that my father passed away. I flew down to Florida very next day, arranged for my father to be flown up to Edison, took my mother on a plane, and brought her up to our house, and we had a funeral. My mother stayed up here a few days after the funeral, and then went back to Florida. After some period of time, my mother met a man named George Helser, and they start going together, then living together. Then they decided at the ripe old age of 94, 95, that they were going to get married. And my mother said to me that she wanted to get married to George. I said to her, you're the mother, I'm the son. If you want to get married, you get married. That's fine with me. As long as he takes care of you, that's fine. And George and my mother got married, and they lived in my apartment in Century Village for many years. Then my mother got sick, and my brother and I flew down to Florida, and we left one of our fellows to watch the station, and we stayed there for a few days and came back. Before we went down, my daughters Audrey and Donna went to visit my mother in a hospital. It was a very sad and emotional thing for us to go down there and see my mother in that state. My mother was a very wonderful woman and would do anything for anybody and always had a prayer for me and a prayer for the family and a prayer for friends. And as a child, she did everything for her sons. She went beyond and above doing things for their children. George Helser lived in the apartment for about a year, and then he got sick. He went into a nursing home. Bonnie and I went down to Florida. We visited him and said we were going to close up the apartment. And he said he took all the stuff that he wanted out of there. And Bonnie and I had to get a dumpster, and we paid for a company to bring a dumpster. And we brought a dumpster and filled the dumpster. My grandson Ryan and his girlfriend came and helped us on a second or third day that we were there, empty out the house. And a lifetime of my mother and George's belongings went out into the dumpster. It was a very sad time. We also put the house up for sale, and Bonnie and I worked very hard on cleaning out that house. And then we hired a cleaning girl, and the cleaning girl came and cleaned the house. And my mother used to use that cleaning girl. And she said to me, "Did you look upstairs above the drop ceiling? There was tiles that came down or would pop up. And they used to put stuff upstairs, jars and stuff. Maybe they hid some money up there." And we had a flight in a couple hours after that. And I wasn't going to clean up any more jars. So I said, whoever buys the apartment and whoever looks up there is going to be in for a windfall if they find any money that was left up there. We left the furniture in there. We did not junk it. The place was going to be sold as is. We saw... put it with an agent. Bonnie and I flew back to Edison. And I would think it was about 3 months. We sold the property. And we only got $21,500 for the property. You can't even buy a car for that. But it was a drain, and we weren't going to use it, and it was too many memories there for us to go there, and the apartment needed a lot of work, and we just let it go, and we just have a lot of fond memories and not going back to the apartment anymore. When we sold it and I had to get Richie to sign, at that time I wasn't talking to him again, only because he doesn't talk to his children. He has three wonderful children. He's got grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and he doesn't talk to them. I talk to him now only because Bonnie was very sick and sitting next to me in our den. And I happened to say out loud, "You know, time's getting short and maybe I should call my brother and tell him that time is getting short that we should talk. But I was the one that wasn't talking to him because he wasn't talking to his children. So Bonnie was not very verbal at that time. She said, I think you should. Well, I almost cried. I called my brother and said to him, I left a message because he didn't answer. And he had a habit to let calls go to the answering machine. And I said, Richie, it's about time that we talk again. That time is getting short. We're getting older. And I think we should talk. And Richie called me up, and we've been talking ever since. I still get very upset when I talk with him that he doesn't talk to his children. And I want to say to him, you know, you have beautiful children, beautiful grandchildren. You have great grandchildren. You don't know what you're missing. But he's a very stubborn man. And he's the one that'll leave this world not knowing wonderful people, his children. And it is so, so sad that he doesn't do that. I know that my children, my grandchildren, and maybe great-grandchildren, I'll hear this, but never, ever not talk to family. Don't leave this world not talking to your children. The saddest thing was that my nephew came to do a favor for me in the house. We had to take a bed in Audrey's room out and put it in the cellar so we could put a hospital bed from hospice in that room. And we moved the bed to the cellar. And he said to me in the cellar that his daughter was going to get married next year in a winery. And he said that he asked his daughter, do you want to invite your grandpa Whiskers to your wedding? And she said, no, I don't know him. That was so sad to me. And I'm a very emotional person. It made me cry to think that that stupid man is going to miss the wedding of his granddaughter. It is a very, very sad thing. But it's also a lesson to my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Don't ever not talk to your family. Love them. With all your might. I want to go back, and I regress as I think. One of my jobs also, when I was living on Wainwright Street with my mother and father, they had a friend that had a clothing business in Newark on Prince Street. Prince Street was a predominantly black area. 99% black area. And he had this store there. And I went to work for him in that area. and worked there for 6 months to a year. And I could not tolerate the way he treated the people. He would take advantage of black people. He would sell them a hat at one price 1 week, and then they would go out and lose it, and they'd come back after work in a week and sell them another hat, and he'd get more money. Kids come in for Mother's Day, I can remember vividly, and want to buy handkerchiefs for their mother. And it was handkerchiefs that if people bought, say, $10, he'd give them a handkerchief. And he would overcharge them. I said, enough is enough. And I have to leave this job. I have to, even if I do without a job, I'm leaving this job. So I left the job. And also, when I was at that job, there was a place across the street that had a speaker outside, and they put How High the Moon. They played that so much that I can't stand to hear that song ever again. But I left the job, and I'll sign off for today, and I'll come back with a few more memories.